Yeah, my name is John Brady. I grew up in Dublin, from Finglas originally. Got involved in the radio scene back in the early 80s. I always had an interest in following all the pirate stations that were on the go at the time. But I suppose the interest in broadcasting came from used to use the CB radios at first, and then met a chap called Tony Healy, and the two of us took an interest in the pirate scene, built small little FM transmitters at the first that would fit in your hand at the start. Sorry, the small little FM transmitters would fit in your hand, range of about a mile and a half. And from that, we decided to build a shortwave transmitter and do something slightly different, which led us to broadcasting on shortwave every Sunday morning under the name of Radio Ireland International. I was involved for about a year, probably from 1981 until 82. Tony continued on after that, but it kind of changed the format to take in other work he had started doing rather than it just evolved. It just evolved.
So tell me where the studio was. Tell me about the broadcast back in 81 when you were involved.
The studio we had, the way the setup was back in the early 80s, it was all in the news about the PNT, as it was, Post and Telegraphs at the time, raiding all the pirate stations and everything else. So when we set up our shortwave station, because we already had our little FM transmitter, we decided to set the studio up in my house and send it by FM link to the shortwave transmitter. Of course, we thought, oh, they'll raid any station at all, big, small, no matter what it was. So we expected to be raided. So we wanted to know, we didn't want all the decks we had and everything else going. So we knew if the shortwave transmitter went off the air, we were after being raided. So that was the way we'd done it. So there was a distance of about a half a mile between the FM transmitter and the actual main shortwave transmitter. We evolved it over the years, of course, like any radio station, where we bought a mixer deck and we had two record decks and we had tape decks and we got someone to do jingles for us and everything else. And I think it was because we had such an interest in the pirate scene. And jingles originally would have been very basic on the pirate stations, and then Radio Nova came along and they got more extreme, or more not extreme, more musical, more more professional, yeah. And we actually got a friend of ours who had a band and a recording studio to do some jingles for us. Just to bring it up that little bit of a level. And I think we worked on making it as professional as we could for such a part-time amateur. It was enjoyable. It was enjoyable to do it.
How many people were involved?
Just the two of us. Right. Yeah, it's literally just...
Every Sunday, the two of you?
Yeah, just the two of us. We'd alternate. One would do the first show, the other one would do the second show, and we'd switch around every other week.
And did you have interaction with listeners at the time?
The way back with the shortwave stations, they'd be picked up by people in other countries, and they'd send you a QSL card. You get a small bit of detail. They give you a time scale, what you were talking about, what music you were playing, and you would send them back cards to verify that yes, they had picked you up. One or two of them actually sent us recordings back on the cassettes.
Okay, and were you ever raided? You talked about the
raiding. No, they had no interest in raiding a small station like ours. Later on, we always had a problem with modulation on our shortwave. It was always a bit low. And Tony met this chap who was telling us, oh, your modulation's a bit low and I can fix that for you. And he did actually fix the transmitter for us, and the modulation was up and all. And he later told Tony that he actually worked for the PNT tracking down the fire station, but did no interest in the likes of us. We weren't trying to make money out of it. We were just, we weren't interfering with anyone. So they weren't after us. They're after the bigger fish.
And tell us about the studio. Where was it? In a house, in an office? Tell us about the transmitter, where that was.
The studio was in my bedroom, in my house. very basic setup. We actually started off with a really, really cheap microphone, and then of course we went out and bought a, I remember at the time it was a Sony microphone. That was the best thing ever. It used to hang from the ceiling on two pieces of string, so there'd be no vibrations through it or anything. We got the mixing desk, and we had two Sony record decks. We had two different tape recorders for playing between jingles, and then the odd time we might play a little bit from what we'd recorded off one of the radio stations around Dublin during the week, if there was something in particular happening, like when Radio Nova closed down. We had the tape. I think it was broadcast beforehand. We knew they were being closed down, and we had the tape where the song cut out in the middle of it, because we knew it was going to happen.
So tell us what happened in the end. Did you close down?
Tony continued on after. I don't know exactly how long I worked with him. It was probably for a year. We used to do it nearly every Sunday. Then he got involved working on, I think Radio Dublin had two stations. He got involved with another chap, and they used to do a comedy programme. I think it was on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock for an hour. The two of them used to, it's like you get, on all the breakfast shows now, you seem to have two presenters. It was bouncing off each other, that type of way. And he started doing that. So I think we just drifted apart then, and he more or less started broadcasting that then after I'd gone. He started broadcasting that on a Sunday morning. Instead of doing the way we used to do live shows, it was just a recording of the show we'd done during the week.
Your favourite memory from that time?
Favourite memory? I always remember my dad giving out to me because he told us some of the records we were playing were too long and we should be doing more talk. And then he probably had a point. You might put a record on that's 7 minutes long, and like, people don't, on shortwave, don't tune in basically for the music. They were tuning in more for the spoken word and all that. But of course, we were only 19, 20. We didn't realise this at the time. Like, we were just happy to play records and that was it. But I always remember my dad saying it to me one day after a show, "You're playing too much music on that station."